Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Welcome in, everybody, to Match Week Edition, a monster week for the Sacramento Republic. And because it's the monster week, we had to have a monster guest on once again. Rob McAllister, play-by-play announcer for your Sacramento Republic, getting to call a win on Saturday. Rob, thanks for coming on. And man, it's a big week.
Yeah, when's the monster guest coming?
That's you. You're the monster guest.
All right. Yeah, wow. Oof, monkey off the back a little bit. I think that's a team you have to beat. Kevin Goldthwait called it a must win, and it's, you know, technically not a must win, but I think you cannot draw or lose to Portland the way they're playing and the number of players that they were missing. So, you know, I know you watched part of the game. What did you think?
I just felt like, well, first the monkey off the back was bit. I really thought there was going to be more goals coming, but after the own goal, obviously the missed PK, that should have been Cam's 50th goal, but it is what it is. I'm overall happy, 3 points. I just felt like we could have put the hammer down a little bit more. And I think that the attack, the style of play, we just seem unorganized a little bit in the final third. And I don't know exactly what that – because for a while it seemed like, not necessarily this match, but it was the finishing that was the problem. It was the finishing. But this match, it seemed like more of the organization and getting to the spots where you can finish. That's where the problem was. Did you see the same thing?
I think you're absolutely right. And when you look at going back to the tape and seeing what guys were doing or weren't doing, there was only a few runs. And the one great direct run we saw was Mahoney then servicing that ball to Cam, who made a perfect run.
Yeah.
And we need more of those. And what allowed that was a ball coming from out wide. They've been too compact, which, you know, defensively, that's great. And that's exactly what you want to do. And that's right. Where they are, where they are. But offensively, you've got to get more wide. You've got to create more space and make it harder for the opponent to defend you. And that's been the issue. Really, LA, this match, San Diego just played a different style. And it was hard to maintain possession like you wanted to. But that, to me, is the biggest problem, is where you're spacing in the attack. If they can figure that out, the goals will start rolling.
And that's what we saw in the first match of the return to play against Tacoma, is it seemed like they were dialed in and ready to go, and then focusing more on the defense following from that match, it seems like that's where they've lost their momentum a little bit offensively. But we have to talk about the back line. We have to talk about the defense. We have to talk about Rafa Diaz, who has been excellent in goal. Back-to-back clean sheets. What is that, 3 clean sheets in the last 4 matches for the Republic? I mean, defensively, they've looked great. Tomas, Hilliard Arce, Hayden Sargis, they seem to really be on the same page, especially the way they communicate. Matt Mahoney filling in for Ash on the right back, and they moved Jordan to left back. I just think defensively, they got to figure it out. They're doing a really good job of – and the midfielders as well. Drew Skunrich, Jaime Villarreal, stepping up in spots. They need to step up, and I just think they've been excellent.
The back line and, you know, both keepers, but really Rafa Diaz is the late, have not allowed good opportunities. I mean, you look at that Portland match, there wasn't a single moment where you felt threatened by them. And that's a really good thing. And you have to score more than a goal to have not a fluke thing happen. And that's what was the concern, I think, on Saturday. But, you know, Rafa's a great shot stopper. And that's always been what he's really good at. The problem with Rafa in the past is that his delivery with his feet, and so he's got to continue to get better there. He's looked better in the last 2 games, but if he can continue to stop shots, you know, you'll take the other deficiency. The back line, you're right, I think Hayden Sargis is playing much older than a 17-year-old, and some could argue he's a top 3 player on this team right now. Tomas Hilliard Arce, here's a number 2 overall pick just a couple years ago. I mean, this should be one of your best center backs in the game right now. And you know, you look at the goal that was given up to LA, and you know, he maybe wasn't positioned properly, but also the event leading up to that even allowed that to happen. So you can't really put that all on Tomas, even though he will put that on himself.
Right.
And then I think what you've seen from Jordan McCrary this year is a much smarter player. He picks his spots and when he's going to try to poke at a ball, and, you know, he's not afraid to challenge. And he's so good with his left or right feet, and he's turning in on his right foot if he needs to, or coming back to his left. So he's been really indispensable for Mark along that back line. And of course, Asher Pollin playing a new position, you've got to give him credit. And then, you know, Matt Mahoney, to his credit, if it wasn't for a bonehead play, he's probably starting again here Wednesday night and then probably Saturday.
Going back a little bit, Tomas Hiljadarsa, you said I interviewed him and talked to him about just his play overall, and he holds himself to an unbelievably high standard. Giving up the 3 goals against Tacoma, he said it straight up, this is unacceptable, and we're going to work on it. And basically, I just think that he's one of those guys who wants to get better and wants to be perfect. He's a perfectionist, and I think that's going to be a big factor for the Republic coming forward. Him and Hayden Sargis have been excellent. One thing I have to talk about, Rafa Diaz has been so good. Adam Grinn was out with the injury. Is there a chance Rafa Diaz becomes the number one goalkeeper?
Well, Adam Grinwis is back. I mean, he's in the 18. They were concerned about his knee being worse than it was. It appears that he's fine, and he's rehabbed, and he's ready to go. The problem is, in sports and many jobs in general, you leave a crack open, and sometimes someone comes bursting through that door, and your opportunity is gone. And I think that is what's happening for now. Does that mean Rafa's going to be all the way through the end of the year? No. However, if he continues to play and he continues to put up really good numbers, I don't think you'll see him get clean sheet after clean sheet after clean sheet. Now, that'd be great. That would put us in a really good position to move to the playoff. But he's a guy that's going to at least give you a chance right now, and you can't take that away from him. I mean, he's performed. So that's the hardest part about a goalkeeper position, is that once you are no longer able to get in there, it's not like there's another midfield position or a back line that someone could slide you in because they feel you're ready to go. And Rafa's got experience. I mean, he's played with the Red Bulls. Red Bulls 2, of course, came here 3 years ago. And he looks calm. I think that's the best way to put it now, is he's not getting flustered, where I think there was times in the last couple of years he would try to do too much. And now he's just playing within himself. He's keeping that back line calm, which is also just a really huge positive. And why they're not allowing goals, because they don't feel flustered. They're not making mistakes. They're playing within themselves and doing what they know how to do best.
And, I mean, I'm excited to see what the Republic end up doing with Rafa, with Adam Grinwis. I mean, it's pretty incredible when you have two top goalkeepers. We'll see what happens coming Wednesday and then Saturday. But I think one of the problems, not necessarily a problem, I should say, but one of the things that I noticed was the absence of not having Rodrigo Lopez in the match on Saturday, because we talked about it earlier, the style of play, the chances weren't really there for the Republic. And I think Roro, being probably the best passer on the team, he is one of those guys who puts you in great opportunities. I forget the stat, but I believe he leads Sacramento in basically chances created. So what did you see with him not being in the lineup? Do you think that had a factor on Republic's attack?
Absolutely. I mean, you lose a guy like Roro, and unfortunately, you know, it appears he has a broken nose, so you didn't have him. And the good news is he can breathe out of it. It's not that major of a nose break where, you know, it's off to the left side of his cheek or something. So he's able to breathe. The problem is you got to wear a mask, though. You don't want further damage, and you got to keep that pretty face for photo shoots. But the problem he's having right now is that he can't see the ball through that mask. And they're having kind of a problem to fit it properly. Now, when Carlton Belmar broke his nose in one of the first weeks of training, he had several weeks to rehab before even putting on a mask or even trying to work that. And then obviously COVID, and so he really didn't have to have to play with it. So when you look at that injury, you think, okay, well, you'll hopefully have him back soon. And Mark loves his creative abilities, and you saw what he did against Tacoma, and being able to play that, he kind of drops back, plays defensive mid, but he's not really a box to box or a six. He's really directing the attack, and when you can't have him as an option, I think it does hurt you a little bit. And you know, Andrew Wheeler Aminu was there for kind of an energy spark, and he's out as well for the next couple of weeks. So good thing you're right, there is depth. But you know, Roro was not brought here just to be a card to say, hey, we got Roro back. I mean, he was here to be a significant player, and right now it's tough because he's not been able to either minutes wise because people weren't in shape yet, or now because of the injury.
And I hopefully we can see him back, I mean, Wednesday, but it doesn't seem like from what you're saying that he'll be back for Wednesday's match. Is that right?
I think it's still to be determined. Okay. I think they'd like to, and, you know, they're hoping for Saturday for sure. But yeah, it's, you know, at this point, I think he would probably come off the bench anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just took an elbow to the nose during training, and these things happen. So. Yeah.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about the possession stats. Now, I'm a guy who doesn't read into possession stats too much because I think it's sometimes can be an empty stat, but it is relatively glaring. Republic had been in the 43 to 44% possession stats the last few matches. This match, however, up at 52%. So they were obviously had the possession majority of the time. Where do you think that transition changed? And was it just because the back line was able to keep Portland out of good opportunities, and that was one of the reasons?
Yeah, possession's hard because I think, you know, certain teams play certain ways. And you look at right. Portland Timbers MLS side, they're really big on counterattacks. You know, San Jose Earthquakes MLS, they really pride themselves on pressure, man-to-man, really push it hard, hope for you to make a mistake and then spring out and score, which is why they had a nice run in MLS's back tournament. So I think early on, you didn't really care about it. I think what Mark probably put a little more – you know, a semblance on it is that you want to see more because you're not getting that high press unit attacking and getting shots like they were early on. So the possession's hard. It's the style you want to play. And if, you know, you can keep possession in your own, you know, back half and just kick it back between the back line and the goalkeeper, does that really
right.
give you real opportunities? I mean, so you could have 90% if the other team has five better chances and you only have one, but you had the ball 90% of the time, it doesn't really matter because they have mm-hmm. the better chances. You're probably going to win the game. Yeah. So I don't look too much into possession unless it's the style you're trying to do. Now for San Diego, they want possession. They want to eat that ball. They don't want you to touch it. They want to mm-hmm. limit your chances. So in that first half compared to the second half, Sacramento did a much better job of getting that ball back, controlling it, and getting San Diego out of their game. And even though it was a scoreless draw, that was actually a very solid match by Sacramento. Go down the road and pick up that draw. And when you look at possession, they were able to change what they were trying to do in that second half and made the right adjustment.
Let's talk a little about the youngsters for Sacramento. Julian Chavez getting his debut, his pro debut. We saw Rafael Uregui get it earlier in the year. Obviously, youth is very important for this club. The academy has been a huge factor in that. And more importantly, Mark Briggs able to trust his youngsters. What do you think that has to say about how talented these young grads are?
Oh, they're incredible. I mean, Juju, you know, congratulations to him again. And in Portland, he, by all accounts, has been one of the best players in training lately. And that's why he got it. I mean, it's not just because, oh, hey, let's get a young guy in. We got to feel good about ourselves. He's been great. And, you know, Harigi has been great too. And the players all say, he does things that they wish they could do at that age. I mean, it's incredible the abilities that some of these younger players have in Sacramento, and which sets you up really good for long term. You know, you don't need them to be stars right now. You need them to be stars in 4 or 5 years in MLS. And so, yeah, Juju, just a hard worker, really nice kid, and it's great to see him get in the match. And that's got to be nerve-wracking, especially, you know, the set pieces, and you're like, you're just not wanting to make a mistake. But yeah, a lot of credit. And, you know, Mario Penagos as well. I mean, there's four guys, including Hayden Sargent, we talked about, who could be real impact guys, you know, several years down the line here.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting times. And I love when guys get their first opportunity. I mean, Rafael Uregui was at home and his family was there watching up on the berm and or the levee. And it was just a cool moment. So excited for those guys. One thing I also want to talk about, Shannon Gomez was in the 18 for the first time this year. A fan favorite. He's just one of the nicest guys in the world. It's been a long road for him. He's back. His knee is doing much, much better, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in the 18. What do you think about possibly we'll see him in the starting 11 anytime soon? Do you think he's going to come off the bench and he's going to be in limited minutes here the next few matches?
Yeah, great sign. I mean, it's since last August, he was last in the 18, right? And that's when he was in the starting lineup. So it's, you're right. He just, this poor kid. He doesn't really kid anymore, but he's had, you know, three different knee surgeries in his career. I mean, he was with NYCFC, and they really had high hopes for him. He was a little bit small, but his pace and his technical ability on the ball outshone some of the physical aspects that he probably needed. and you see what he can do when healthy in a Republic uniform, and you hope that he's getting to the point where he's now going to be fit to play. And I think with any type of these injuries, you're just a little tentative. And as fast as you want to go, you're probably not going to go in as hard because you've just thought, I've been on the injury list for a year now. I can't go back right now. Like, so you've got to probably tamper yourself. And I think that's probably what he's doing. But I think he's been good enough in training to get in the 18. And I would imagine he'll be in the 18 for the next couple of weeks. And I think the more confidence he builds, the more likely you might see him in the match, especially with Juan Barona out for the year. And Ash Apollon and Jordan McCrary, of course, and Matt Mahoney, you could have now four guys you could rotate through in different positions. And, you know, Matt or Ash could also play in the midfield if you needed them. So that gives you a lot of flexibility.
And I think that's one of the things that's going to be interesting. I just have a dream of Shannon Gomez and Jordan McCrary on the outside, and their abilities and their speed on the outside could give Sacramento a little bit of an advantage possibly in certain situations. You can consider Gomez can be a wing back in certain scenarios. So that would be interesting to see.
Well, it'd push the other guys on the wing up top further. It'd push them further into the attack. And I think it does give you a lot. And which I think Ash Apollon does a nice job too, right?
He does.
I mean,
yeah,
you see him, the speed he's gotten, he's gotten a lot better game after game. He's improved immensely. So, you know, look for him to snag this opportunity. We likely would imagine starting on Wednesday night and maybe even Saturday.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the opponents this Wednesday. Arguably the biggest game of the year, just because Reno is red hot. Sacramento beat them 1-0 earlier in the year. Reno's won three straight matches. They beat Tacoma Defiance 2-1 on Saturday. And I think it's a different team than the last time these two teams faced off. Really for both teams, I should say. Because Reno now is at top form. We're probably playing as good as anybody in the USL right now. What are your thoughts? I mean, Corey Hertzog, we know how talented he can be. He's one of the top goal scorers in USL history. We know how good he is. He got one on Saturday against Tacoma. What do you think about Reno? How do you think Sacramento matches up this week?
Well, Reno always loves to play on their home pitch. It's a smaller baseball stadium at Greater Nevada Field in Reno. Yeah, I mean, they're playing probably better than anybody in the group play right now. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But Sacramento, I think it's you know, overall, Reno has owned, 2-5-1 overall or something, regular season play. But, you know, if you think about the playoff win last year where Reno went up early at the fifth minute, I think it was Hertzog who scored. And then three straight goals for Sacramento going off 3-1 and getting the upset of the number two team. And then earlier this year, I think Sacramento smacked him in the face. I mean, honestly, if you're Reno, you should be motivated now. I think Sacramento felt a little disrespect, like, no, we are the top team in the group right now. It's not you. And I think they came in with a bit of an edge. And so if Reno will either respond or they're going to try to play outside themselves. And so it'll be interesting to see how they come out. But one player that's fun to watch is Benji Kikonovich, who, you know, Sacramento State, 20-year-old forward. He went to Antelope High School. And so it's fun to see local guys succeed. You know, Seth Kasiple out of Rockland was there last couple of years. And so there's guys getting chances from Sacramento professionally in other places as well. He's been really good, got his first professional goal against Tacoma last weekend. They have a dangerous attack. However, I don't think their top guys and some of their midfielders defend all that well. So I think if Sargis and Tomas can put some pressure on those guys and make them play, not just in the attack, but also defense as well, that you could see a Reno team a little bit out of sorts. However, they're coached very well. Ian Russell's one of the best in USL. So I think it's going to be a very good match. I think people should be really excited about this match. I'm excited about this match. You win here, and now it feels like you're the top dog. And, of course, you've got then Tacoma a couple of days later, which is also going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Todd Donovan last week about how this is probably the biggest week of the year for Republic just because of the amount of games all in group play. In the moment that it is coming up against Reno with a chance to tie for first place in group, really, they would jump them just because of or not jump them. I'm sorry. I'm thinking head to head. That's not how it works. Differential. But I'm excited to see how Sacramento handles, like you mentioned, Hayden Sargis and Tomas Hilliard Arce. They have to be aggressive because when we saw Sacramento play Reno, the best opportunities Republic got in that final third, in my opinion, was when, because Reno matches up so well, defensively in man-to-man, that the center backs can push forward and dribble up the field, and then that's when things seem to open for Sacramento. So, and I thought Hayden Sargis initially was a little tentative to do that just because he's a young kid, really. We hadn't seen him do a whole lot of that. But once he got more comfortable in the second half, I thought that's when Sacramento had their best opportunities against Reno, and I look forward to seeing them do that again on Wednesday.
Well, and you look at the Jaime Villarreal almost had that goal, and mm-hmm. their goalkeeper earning the save of the month, Buri. And so, you know, they had a lot of chances, and I think they really put it to Reno and dominated that match. And even though it ended up 1-0, it's still 3 points, and you'll take, I think it would have been a very disappointing draw. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. That was a very exciting match. And I was bummed not that we weren't able to call it, but now we'll get to call this one. And, you know, that's what's going to be interesting about this group play, though, is that you now have Portland, Tacoma, Reno, every match for the rest until October 3rd. So every week is going to be much more critical to earn a point at the very least.
And, I mean, just the fact that they're so compact this week, 3 games, 8 days, depth, we talked about it being a factor earlier in the season. This is an opportunity for depth to come to fruition a little bit. But with some injuries now, we'll see what Sacramento does. Mark Briggs, he's got his hands full a little bit, but he's got some decisions to make with regards to the 18 and the starting 11. And obviously with the depth now, with having some of these young guys, Rafael Urregui, Julian Chavez, Mario Panagos, obviously Hayden Sargis, as we talked about, it's going to be interesting. And I'm right there with you. Wednesday is going to be fun. I'm excited. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So, I mean, I just think that Sacramento, they're starting to figure it out a little bit. I know offensively, there's still some issues. We expect that a little bit. I mean, it's a 4-month hiatus. It's tough to just come in and be in top form. Reno now seems that they are in top form a little bit. So it's a huge test for Sacramento on Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you want to peak the right time. It's probably at the end of the year, but you got to get those final two, and you don't want to, you know, be on the road the first week. So if you get the top seed, then you're going to at least host a playoff game. What Roto said to us last week, he said the number of years he's played in USL and of course Liga MX and the second division in Mexico, this is one of the most talented teams he's seen. And he said there's things that happen in training that he has not seen in some of his other teams that he's been with over the years. He said, so he just feels as if they get one or two and they score two or three goals in one of these matches, they could go on a 4 or 5 match streak and just start dominating games like they know how. He said it's just right there on the cusp. I mean, and him and Mark Briggs have both said they feel something has turned a little bit, like the switch is starting to click on, and now we just need to see the lights come on full blast, and then everyone's just, you know, firing and seeing the light of day and seeing hopefully more goals. So yeah, it's right there. It's almost, you can just taste it. It's like, it's right there. And hopefully we'll get to see that Wednesday and Saturday.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Rob McAllister, play-by-play announcer for Sacramento. Always a pleasure having you on as our special guest as always. Thank you so much, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Connor.